Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is Championship Week Video Notebook Day number three. Am I three?
Yeah. I'm in the bunker. Get me the hell out of
I'm
here.
I'm your host, Chad Short. Over there, locked in the puppet bunker, is David Griggs. Just two of us tonight.
Yes, one of us is in a bunker. Why don't we ever put? Why don't we have a host bunker?
Because I've got other things to do with the rest of my life.
I got other things to do too.
You're a puppet. You got nothing to do. This is our Championship Week Video Notebook, where we will be coming to you every night between now and Selection Sunday. We will be doing news and notes. We'll be reviewing all conference tournament games. We'll be previewing upcoming conference tournament games. We'll be updating our survival board, and we've got a lot more, some fun things in store. We're going to be starting with tonight even. But let's start with, news and notes. Well, David, if you want news and notes, we're actually not going to do them tonight.
Yeah.
Tell people what they should do tomorrow night, though.
What's tomorrow night? Oh yeah, well, they
our
should
Hoops
be
HD
watching.
Report.
Yeah, they should be watching the Hoops HD report because wow, what a weekend we had! It was a great weekend. We're not talking about any of it tonight, though.
No, we will be doing a Hoops HD report. Our final Hoops HD report of the regular season tomorrow night. We will be going over all the major conference games. Great action this weekend. Tonight's show is limited to the conference tournaments and a couple other small things, though.
One thing real quick, since we're not doing under the radar anymore, the Missouri Valley completed their conference schedule, all of it.
Everybody got all 18 games in. That was amazing. I saw that today.
Yeah,
also.
And I don't think any other conference is going to be able to make that claim. Good for them. Anyway, just wanted to make sure
congrats,
we got that.
Congrats to the Valley. They 99.9% are the only one that did it. I mean, we've got conferences like the West Coast Conference that seeded their conference tournament based on actual results plus KenPom projected results in games that were not played. That's how the West Coast Conference determined its seeding for its conference tournament. So it was, we just saw some wild stuff this year for some of these leagues.
Yeah.
which is probably still better than what the Horizon League did when they pulled names out of a hat.
I still don't understand what they did.
Let's get to the only two conference tournament games that were actually played today, David. They were both in the America East. We started off with to the bottom of those two games, UMass Lowell at New Hampshire. And if you remember, Saturday afternoon, Stony Brook jumped out to a huge lead on Lowell. Lowell fought all the way back and stole the game late. This game, Lowell's one that jumped out to a huge lead, and it was UNH that made a huge, huge late comeback to try to get this game.
Yeah, they really surged. A couple of entertaining games today for that reason. Like, they couldn't get all the way over the top. And even as they were coming back, you never felt like Lowell was completely out of control.
Well, no, but if you don't, in the last few minutes there, New Hampshire cut it all the way down to three. And then Khalil Thomas for Lowell hits a three-pointer with about 10 seconds left to put them up six. And that was the end of it. But there was a slim chance, you know, one turnover, one missed shot. We could have been going overtime. It was that close, which was just an amazing comeback in a game that I was ready to turn off in the first half.
So UMass Lowell advancing to the semifinals for the first time ever, a recent transitional team. So congratulations to them. They've got UMBC
next
in
Saturday.
About 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whenever that is, next month sometime.
The other game though, Hartford, actually, I don't even think it was close the whole way. It was like Hartford had them at about a 6-point advantage the whole way. It just seemed to stay right there. Albany never quite got all the way there.
Hartford kept them at arm's length, and every time Albany made a run, you're right, it doesn't seem like they could ever overtake it or ever get the lead. It didn't seesaw back and forth, but the game was played in about a 6 to 10 point range the whole way, it seemed like. But Howie the Hawk. And we really are disappointed that our friend Lee Del Vecchio, Zach Singer, could not be here tonight. He's a big Howie fan.
Well, we may be able to get him back on next Saturday to discuss their game against Vermont. Interesting, David, the later of the two games, the Vermont-Hartford game next Saturday, that is what should have been the America East Championship game that did not happen with the COVID shutdown last year.
It was
Hartford at Vermont. So here we go. It's a semifinal this year, but we get Hartford at Vermont. So these teams have been waiting a year to play each other in the America East tournament. They finally get their matchup this coming Saturday, the 6th.
Yeah. And I don't know what the situation is with the fans, but anyway. So they play on the 6th, and then the championship game is a couple months after that.
The 15-day America East tournament. Well, at least we're going to be going away from the America East for a while. We're not going to be talking about you again until maybe Friday when we preview the Saturday games. And that's all that we had in terms of games for today.
So
in fact, David, we're on day 3 already. The first day we had 4 games. The second day we had 5 games. Today we had 2 games.
Yeah.
So let's take a look at tomorrow. Monday, we double our amount of games. We're back to 4 again. The heck are the games, really?
Well, it seems like you always start, because it normally starts on a Tuesday, championship week. And sometimes if you're lucky, you get some unofficial conference tournament games, like those years in the ASEM where it came down to an 8-9 game that determined the last spot in the tournament. But it'll start to pick up here very, very quickly. But anyway, Big South. I don't even know.
Yeah, Big South tomorrow. We the first time so far championship week, we do have our first one seed in action. Winthrop hosting High Point. Other games, Longwood, these are all on campus site. Longwood at Asheville, Hampton's at Radford, Gardner-Webb is at Campbell.
Yeah.
So the big question we have is, of course, is do we foresee any upsets here in tomorrow's 4 games?
I don't. I've really enjoyed this Longwood team over the years. It seems like every year we sort of make a point of saying what great progress they're making, and here they are in a winnable quarterfinal game. If they could get to the semis, that would be pretty cool. But I've kind of described this league all year long when doing the under the radar, is that there's a big gap between Wofford and Radford and a big gap between Radford and everybody else. I still think that that's true. Maybe Gardner-Webb over Campbell, if you want to call it an upset, but I think it's going to be pretty chalky, to be honest, Jim.
You know, they're all on home courts. I agree with you. I think I like Winthrop, Asheville, and Radford the most. I agree with you. If somebody's going to be an upset, I think Campbell is the most vulnerable of those 4 home teams.
Yeah.
But I don't know that Gardner-Webb is good enough to beat them either. So we might be doing chalk of the top 4 seeds into Thursdays, which means we'll probably get 4 upsets tomorrow.
I mean, the way it's going. I mean, it's not like it's the Summit League where the 8 always beats the 1.
A couple of quick notes here. Actually, I just had a note here about Bryant. This could be unfortunate. Bryant, Northeast Conference is only taking 4 teams into the tournament. Bryant is looking to be potentially the 1 seed in that tournament. They just went on a COVID
problem
at Bryant. So
their
final regular season games, which are scheduled for this week, are off, and they are big old question mark for the NEC for the Northeast Conference tournament. So we are hopeful that they can get on the court for that, but that would it's not coming up until the weekend, I think, not till Saturday, so they've got a week to try to get things in order. But that could be something we have to really pay attention to. We've lost already a couple teams to COVID, but they both cases they've been the last place teams in the conference, both this conference with Charleston Southern and in Jacksonville out of the A-Sun. But if Bryant is shut down and can't be in the Northeast tournament, that would be huge. Also, just a quick update from last night. We were talking about our centenary award. David, we do want to congratulate Delaware State. Got blown out by 20 points at home by Coppin State today. As far as I know, they are done with their season and did not win a single D1 game. So we may have our centenary award winner.
We do. We normally award this. It's normally on the first night of business. Chad is the chairman
for our mock committee. Yes.
For our mock committee. And he tallies up the first ballot, which when you hear us say first ballot teams, those are teams that go in on the first night before we really get started. And the other order of business is that we award the centenary award.
Yeah. Well, it won't become official until that night, but I don't know that anyone could beat Delaware State at this point.
Right. Unless, you're not going to do
unless they schedule another game here, because we know the way games get scheduled. So,
right. You're not going to do anything crazy. Like say Pitt should win it this time.
No, not this year. Let's jump over to our survival board though. How about that?
Okay.
This is, if we can get it to show up on the screen, there it is. This is our NCAA tournament survival board. This is a tool that is available to the actual selection committee in the room.
Yes.
And we've got all kinds of teams listed in various methods here on this board. What we don't see is teams in bold and all caps. That won't happen until actually an automatic bid is earned. We do see teams in bold, David. Those are teams that the committee has to take, correct?
Yes, they have to take
these. They're locks. So if the committee's in the room, say, should we take Villanova? The answer is
yes, because they're in bold.
Okay. Now, Next, we also list teams in italics. Those are what we call bubble teams. They may or may not be in. So if they're wondering, should we take Seton Hall? The answer to that question is
maybe. You have to look at them. Yeah. And a lot of that has to do with you got to keep paying attention to them, because if they win the rest of their games, you know, maybe you should take them.
Yeah. If they're wondering if we should take Georgetown.
No.
Well, that's a no. They're in regular
because
type.
They're in regular type.
They can only get in via an automatic bid. They're still alive to win the national championship, but only if they win the Big East tournament.
Yeah. Everybody that's on this list gets to play until they lose. So,
And if they're wondering if you should take a team from the Ivy League, like, let's say Penn or Princeton.
Well, no, they're not listed. Like they're not allowed to take teams that are not listed on this board.
Exactly. So we were heading into today at 320 teams remaining. Now, this is, again, a big problem I have, because if we're going at the pace we're at right now, it's going to be a very long championship week. Yeah. As a result of today's games, 318 teams remaining.
Yes. So we eliminated two. Eventually, we're going to get down to one.
Just a quick side note. Some conferences that don't take the full conference into the tournament because of issues with COVID, we've decided to wait until the conference tournament actually tips off until we remove extra teams. For example, the Summit League and the Ohio Valley have announced their fields.
Yes.
There are total of five teams between those two conferences that did not qualify for them, but we're going to give it a couple days here. See, hopefully that, you know, those teams that did make it don't get knocked out, but just in case something does happen, those tournaments start. Yeah.
Yes. And can I plug our good friend, Brian Black here, Chad?
Yes, please.
On Twitter, it's 358 Jerseys for Hope. I believe that's his handle. 358.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, 358. The number's 357. 357. Jerseys for Hope. Follow him on Twitter, and it is what it sounds like. He's raising awareness for epilepsy. He himself is an epilepsy survivor. He doesn't have all 357, but he has damn near 300 of them. As teams are eliminated from the survival board, he's giving them a shout out with a photo of the jersey. Look at that, retweet it, help us. You know, help us help him raise awareness, and let's make this go as viral as possible.
Absolutely. Keep an eye out for so follow Brian, Bryan Black on Twitter if you need to find him.
Yeah, you can follow me and Chad if you'd like, but you really should follow Brian. He's better.
Don't follow David. Absolutely. Yeah. David, we have a new feature we decided to add in for our Championship Week video notebooks. And since we've got a couple more minutes left here in our show, I think we only got about 50 minutes left to hit our 1 hour time limit. We decided to break it out that this week. We decided to take a look at, with the season coming to an end, what coaches are in good shape and what coaches are in bad shape.
Yes.
So we have decided to break out the HoopsHD.com presents the hot seat.
Yes, the hot seat. And this can be a real stressful time. A lot of coaches, championship week, it's their last chance to maybe keep their jobs. They're on the hot seat. We're going to be profiling coaches that we feel are on the hot seat.
Yes, and tonight's profile, a coach that, I mean, this team got removed from the survival board, except for regular type. They are not going to make the NCAA tournament unless they get an automatic bid. They're going to have a losing record this year. He has been absolutely awful. He should absolutely be on the hot
seat. Tom Crate. What? Wait.
John Calipari.
Chad.
What?
John Calipari. Yeah. On the hot seat. What of time course. Did you start drinking?
Look at Kentucky's record. Did you see Kentucky's record?
Well, yeah, I saw Kentucky's record, but I mean, last year they didn't win any tournament games either. And,
right, this will be two straight years. They were not played. They did not play at an NCAA tournament for two straight years. If you go two straight years without an NCAA tournament at Kentucky, you're on the hot seat.
Yeah, I don't think that's happened in about 50 years.
Exactly.
Oh boy. So he's won a national title. He's been the Final Fours. I think he has more tournament wins since joining Kentucky than anybody else in that time span, but that seat is getting hot.
Coach Cal on the hot seat. We'll come back tomorrow. We'll feature another coach that's on the hot seat.
Okay. So what does he have to do to keep his job here?
If he wins the rest of his games, including the SEC tournament, and then wins six in a row in the NCAA tournament.
Okay. So he's still got a chance.
He's still got, well, he is on our survival board. Let's scroll down here.
Yeah.
Here it is. This is where you see Kentucky is here. So they do have a mathematical chance.
Yeah.
If he wins that national championship, all is forgiven. Otherwise, he's on the hot seat.
Oh, wow.
I guess on that note, let's go to any other final thoughts, David. You have any other thoughts to finish off the show for the night?
Not really. Just again, championship week is going to start pick up. It was nice to see the Valley get their whole season in. I wish more leagues would have been able to do it. Another thing to consider is the contingency bids that each conference has, because the NCAA tournament, as we talked about, every conference gets one. Just about all of them will give it to the conference tournament winner as an automatic bid, but they also have a contingency plan in case the automatic qualifier is unable to participate. So something else to look at on the conference tournament tab.
Yeah, I'll actually pull up. This is our conference tournament tab that I just pulled up on the screen here. As you scroll down, you can see all the conference tournaments. We are gathering the information. It's going slowly, but look at the Big East. Their contingency plan is that the tournament runner-up will get the automatic bid. The Big Sky, also the tournament runner-up, followed by the highest-seeded semifinal loser. So we don't know what happens after the tournament runner-up in the Big East. They didn't give us that information, but we're putting this together, so you'll see it there for the conferences that we do have it, and hopefully that'll be filled out in the next few days with all the conferences.
We've
got to do a little bit of groundwork here. David is can't type very well because he's a puppet.
No, I can't. That's part of the problem.
But I guess on that note, on behalf of David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. We will be back again tomorrow night with a full panel for our Hoops HD report, followed by our Championship Week video notebook. Double podcast tomorrow night.
It's going to be great.
And we'll be up till 3 a.m. at some point here this week. But have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you again real soon.